Thank you for tuning in to the WOLA podcast, Latin America Today. It's Monday, June 24th, 2013. I'm Adam Isaacson, a senior associate for regional security policy here at WOLA. It looks like the Senate has reached a compromise on immigration reform, but the deal is going to have an enormous impact on the U.S.-Mexico border. There, at the border, just since 2005, the United States has built hundreds of miles of new fencing and has doubled the size of Border Patrol just since 2005, and now the immigration reform deal, likely to be approved this week, will double the Border Patrol again and build up to 700 miles of new fencing. I want to hear how this proposal is being viewed by people who actually live and work at the border. So I'm here with Cristian Ramirez, director of the Southern Border Communities Coalition, a group that brings together 60 organizations from San Diego on into the west, in the west, all the way to Brownsville, Texas, in the east. Cristian works out of San Diego, where he is today. And thank you for making some time, Cristian. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure, Adam.
You live in San Diego. San Diego-Tijuana is one of the busiest border crossings. It has seen a lot of change in recent years. If Border Patrol is doubled and if there's more fencing, more technology, how is this going to affect daily life in the area where you live and work?
Well, the U.S.-Mexico border is, at this point, one of the most militarized borders between two nations that are not in conflict with each other.
Absolutely.
And we have seen already the ill effects that having an unbalanced enforcement strategy has had on the quality of life for border residents. In the last 2 years, 20 border residents have been killed by U.S. Border Patrol officials. Mm-hmm. Only one of those cases has been fully investigated by the Department of Justice, the case of Sergio Adrián Huereca, a 15-year-old Mexican boy who was shot while standing on the Mexican side of the border.
Right.
The Department of Justice determined that that case could not be fully investigated because the DOJ, the Department of Justice, could not go into Mexico to investigate. So we have a situation here in which Border Patrol acts with impunity, acts with violence, with excessive force, and this is with about 20,000 agents already deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border. Leveling that without any accountability of oversight mechanisms will not create a good situation for border residents. We are urging the Senate to ensure that we have accountability and oversight mechanisms because simply adding more boots on the ground on the U.S.-Mexico border will deteriorate the quality of life for our communities.
What kind of mechanisms in particular? I mean, obviously, you'd expect these cases to go through our justice system when people are being killed. But things like inspectors general or whistleblower protections or something stronger?
Well, we have been working directly with the Gang of Eight, the bipartisan group in the Senate that worked on this compromise. We worked with members of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate to have key fixes in the bill.
Right.
None of those were considered. We were asking, for instance, to have all Border Patrol officials carry lapel cameras on their uniform in an effort to document any contact, any interactions between civil society and the U.S. Border Patrol. That was turned down by the senators who were negotiating the bill. We also asked that in the task force, the oversight task force that is mentioned in the bill, task force that will oversee the actions of Customs and Border Protection, for that task force to have real teeth and have subpoena powers.
All right.
That proposal was also turned down by the senators. So we have asked for reasonable, common sense approaches to make sure that we have accountability and oversight over an already large force on the U.S.-Mexico border, and expected some of those provisions to be accepted by the senators. We were obviously shocked when we heard that none of our provisions that we have brought forward were accepted, and the senators move in the complete opposite direction, in a very extreme direction of doubling up a force that's out of control, that has no oversight and no accountability to the communities that it seeks to protect. So those are the mechanisms that we were seeking, and unfortunately, as of this point, we have not been able to get any traction on the Senate on this, and we're obviously working with the members of the House to see if we are able to get accountability and oversight and hold this agency accountable to the communities that it protects and it says to protect.
Now, with the Senate compromise, this Corker-Hoven Amendment, clearly a lot of Democratic senators who are quite liberal are going to be holding their nose and allowing this doubling of Border Patrol to go forward so that they can clear the way to the path to citizenship. But they're going to feel bad about it. Give you any hope for revisiting these tighter controls on Border Patrol in this stage of the Senate debate?
Or have you We know that this is the 11th hour. We are up to a very complicated situation, and that it is very likely that border communities have once again been used as a bargaining chip in negotiations over immigration reform on the U.S. Senate. We are working with local elected officials. We've heard mm-hmm. from the mayor of El Paso. We heard from city council members from the city of San Diego. And other local elected leaders who completely opposed this amendment, although it appears that we have closed a very sinister chapter in negotiations on the U.S. Senate around border enforcement issues, that the fight is not over. We are working with civic leaders, elected officials, law enforcement officials, business leaders to ensure that the border communities, not only on the south, but also on the north, on the Canada-U.S. border, that we have accountability and that we have oversight. And we are going to put up a fight to make sure that our communities are not completely thrown under the bus and that we have accountability and oversight for this agency.
I can definitely see why you feel you're being thrown under the bus. And meanwhile, if there is this doubling of the U.S. presence or the U.S. security presence along the border, that's going to change migration patterns, but I think we both agree that there's still going to be a lot of people trying to get to the United States, quite often just to reunite with family. What's it going to mean for their humanitarian situation? We've already seen a rise in deaths on U.S. soil near the border. Should we be worried that we're going to see more of that?
Well, we have raised this to the senators from the beginning that our current policies along the U.S.-Mexico border are, in fact, channeling migrants to their deaths, mostly in Arizona and most recently along the Brownsville corridor in Texas.
Right.
We obviously have raised this to the senators. There is a provision in the current compromise bill that will call on Customs and Border Protection to install rescue beacons along the U.S.-Mexico border. That is one of the few positive pieces of legislation that
right.
have made it onto the bill, but obviously a more heavily militarized force with no accountability, with no oversight, will further create a human rights nightmare for border residents and for migrants crossing to the U.S.-Mexico border. As we continue to deport long-time residents of the United States, those folks will seek to come back and reunite with their families, and those are exactly the number of folks that are dying on the desert. We have also seen a troubling figure of unaccompanied minors.
That's right.
The number of unaccompanied minors crossing to the U.S.-Mexico border has tripled in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So we're not only seeing a situation in which the most vulnerable sectors of migrants are dying in the desert, but we have seen this complete obsession by folks in Congress who have no idea what the reality of the border is and who are willing to solidify into policymaking a collateral damage. This is something that should be denounced by the American people. Our tax dollars should not be going towards policies that purposely put people in harm's way, and we should do everything in our power to prevent that. Unfortunately, members of the Senate from both sides of the aisle have turned away, have looked the other way, with human rights catastrophe that we have seen already on the U.S.-Mexico border, and without a doubt, doubling up an agency that's already responsible for the deaths of thousands of migrants will further create a human rights nightmare in the border.
That's a very strong and very concerning. Finally, Christian, when you add up what the Corker-Hoven provisions are expected to cost, at a time of budget austerity, we're looking at more than $30 billion over 10 years, more than $3 billion a year. If your coalition could decide on how to spend an additional $3 billion a year at the border, what sort of priorities would you choose?
Well, listen, the United States, one out of every 8 jobs in the United States depends directly to the trade between Mexico and the United States. And this is with dilapidated ports, with ports that have a chokehold in terms of vehicles and tourists coming to them.
You have to wait 4 to 5 hours
at the ports of entry, correct? The land ports of entry. We have to wait between 4 to 5 hours to cross through those ports. And despite of the interruptions that are out of sync policies have on trade and commerce, we're still contributing enormous amounts of dollars into the economy as border residents, of the economy of the United States as border residents. If we had that sort of money to modernize our ports, to make sure that we reduce the number of hours we have to wait at the ports and reduce it down to 40 minutes instead of the 4 hours that we're waiting. A recent study from the Smart Borders Coalition based out of San Diego said that simply reducing the border waits to 45 minutes will equal having a Super Bowl in terms of revenue in each of the border cities along the U.S.-Mexico border. So it not only seems that it's not only a competitor has missed the mark in terms of how to invest taxpayer dollars in the time of austerity, but we could have had a triple in our investment if we had spent that money towards our ports of entry, hire more staff at the ports of entry, modernize our ports, make those border waits short, make those ports of entry dignified so we have restrooms, we have good accommodations for tourists visiting the United States, ensure that produce and another merchandise crosses without delays, unnecessary delays. That would have not only created a bonanza economically for the country, but it will also ease the tensions that we're facing already on the U.S.-Mexico border. So it is very clear that once again, folks that don't have an idea of how important the border is rather fall on scoring cheap political points than addressing and passing through good public policy. And that's an unfortunate thing because this will inevitably boomerang towards the economy of the United States. What happens at the U.S.-Mexico border will have a dramatic impact on what happens in other parts of the United States.
It's pretty clear. Just to underscore that recommendation with some numbers, basically there are 45 land ports of entry where all these goods are crossing across the border. Border Patrol is responsible for the areas between them. There's 18,000 Border Patrol agents at the border. There's a little less than 6,000 guards at these ports of entry, which is one reason why those lines are so long. They can't cover everything. The current Senate bill proposed to increase that number by about 3,500. But, of course, with this new amendment, Border Patrol will increase by another 20,000, which shows where the priorities are. Thank you, Christian Ramirez, for spending some time with me and explaining how this is being seen on the border.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And, we urge folks to pay close attention to what's happening on the U.S.-Mexico border. We are facing a daunting scenario, but we will continue to fight to ensure that the dignity and the quality of life of border residents is protected.
And we'll be accompanying you the whole way. Thanks for your time, Christian.
Thanks so much. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That was Christian Ramirez, director of the Southern Border Communities Coalition, recorded on Saturday. Thank you for listening to WOLA's Latin America Today. Please keep listening. We're up on iTunes, and please keep visiting WOLA's website, www.wola.org. If you're finding these podcasts useful, please do consider visiting our site, making a donation to keep us going. You can also find WOLA on Facebook or on Twitter at WOLA_ORG. Hasta pronto.